Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at Aura.com/listen. That's AURA.com/listen.
All people at home!
What's up with that?
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it on.
Move to the music, play that music. Move it to the music.
Welcome to Monday Night Rollins. Yo ho ho and a bottle of Dom.
Bro.
The new day. Let me talk to you.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the dip and dots.
Move to the music, play that music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney, and I am the artist formerly known as Pizza Funny, and I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. It doth be a WrestleMania excited fan indeed. It's DPP!
I thought I was going to be very excited to talk WrestleMania and have WrestleMania weekend, but I'm even more excited for this episode, for another reason, PC.
Because I don't have to work tomorrow! Yay! Is that it? I don't. I don't have to work Monday either, so we're getting turned up WWE style. I don't know if that's what the kids say. I'm in my mid-40s, but I don't give a shit. So that's kind of cool where I'm at right there. But DP, I think your excitement comes from the fact that we have Dave Ungar on all the time when we do our big shows. But Dave had to help out our good buddy Patrick O'Dowd this week on the Greg DeMarco show because Greg DeMarco was unavailable to do his own show. And I thought to myself, self, God, you're handsome. And then I thought, hey, let's get Greg DeMarco on the DWI podcast this week, folks. And lo and behold, it is none other than the Chair Shot Kingpin. Mr. Chair Shot himself. Follow him at Greg DeMarco 44. Listen to him every Wednesday on the Greg DeMarco Show with Patrick O'Dowd, and maybe once again, Miranda Morales at some point in the future. We remember, we love you, Miranda. Greg DeMarco joins us.
So I just saw this, and I can't help but bring it up. Everyone always talks about WWE and stupid whatever. This is how self-aware WWE is. At WWE World, you know those things where you could punch a boxing bag and it tells you how hard you hit it?
Sure.
They have a thing at WWE World where you can hit a Logan Paul dummy with a chair, and they will tell you how hard you hit the dummy.
That's awesome.
So obviously they get it, right? Like obviously they get it, and they know. What's crazy is when Logan Paul first started, he said he wanted to be a face. He didn't want to be a heel. Man, that was a horrible decision. I just saw that. I'm like, this is you can hit Logan Paul with a chair. They tell you how hard you hit. Like, they know what they're
fucking
doing.
It's great, he's facing you, too. You're not hitting him in the back.
Yeah.
You're hitting him right in the face.
Hit him in the chest, in the face, I know.
In the face. Oh, man. Before we get into our discussion, and this week, folks, well, it's the big show. We're not even... I'll play it. Just play it anyway.
You might as well.
Well, we're waiting.
They are.
Well, it's the big show.
I'll help you.
And you all know Jack had
I'll
cheated.
Help you. Sheet. Now my favorite part. Ta. Okay. WrestleMania 41. That's the sheet. That's it. But if you guys are listening to this and you haven't been to thechairshot.com this week, not only do we have all this great Cashamania podcast going on, but Mr. DeMarco has two articles out this week. Greg, do you want to tell them about those?
Yeah, I decided to have a little bit of fun. I went with, God, what was the first one? The first one was about my dream match that WWE is afraid to do, which is, of course, Rhea Ripley versus Dominic Mysterio. That should be a WrestleMania match. That is bigger than the four-way for the Intercontinental title. That is bigger than the three-way for the Women's World title. They've been building it for 2 years now. And it's just Dominic getting an ass-kicking. Come on now. That works. That makes sense. That would literally blow the roof off of Allegiant Stadium. So, obviously, they're not doing it.
They could have easily done that. They could have easily done that, especially since Ripley got thrown into this, made a triple threat that kind of didn't make sense why she got in there. So that would have totally worked.
It makes sense to me, but like it's, I just think they missed the boat on that one. And then I did, the other one that I did was top five WrestleMania matches, top five non-title WrestleMania matches. And what amazed me is how many of what many people consider to be the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time didn't involve a title, like Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle and matches of that sort. So, heck, I mean, both of the memorable Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker matches, no title was involved. So go check them out. I've got some more stuff coming as we approach WrestleMania. Probably do some previewing as well and put some stuff together. But, yeah, it's always good to dust off the old pen, even though there's no pen involved.
I don't think it is always good, as I have already published, if you're listening, likely, the chair shot staff pick. Greg knows why. It's a task. But luckily, I had 10 of our Chair Shot Radio Network personalities give me their predictions and maybe add a little quip to go along with it. Some of you didn't read the assignment correctly and added no quips. Some of you don't know how to count to 12, but don't worry. PC Tunney made it all work. And go over to thechairshot.com and find out who the collective chair shot picks are as well. We tally up the votes. There's 11 of us, so that's a pretty good roster there. All right, hey, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Go check it out. Plenty of great designs, plenty of great T-shirts. You can get long sleeve, you can get hoodie, get it in soft style. Spend a couple extra bucks, you cheap bastard. This is the DWI podcast, number 471. Greg DeMarco is here with us. We'll be right back.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, PC Tunney, DPP, and Greg DeMarco here, right here on the podcast known as DWI. Don't drink and drive. Drink and podcast here. WrestleMania. You guys, this is like the show. This is why we podcast, so that you can just show up this week for the show and go, okay, hey, what are we doing? And it's real easy. And this is why you try not to talk about a lot of specific stuff leading up to it. So let's have some fun, guys. Do you want to, what order should we go in? Should we go in the supposed order? That's out there. Let's start with the New Day. And
well, it was announced, wasn't it revealed today by WWE what's going to open up night one?
Yeah. So I'm going by the supposed order because I'm not going back in and changing my article. So
okay,
we're going that way. But yeah, like isn't the championship matches Jay and Gunther supposed to open one and the girls triple threat open night two? Is that what you saw?
That's what I saw, yeah.
Okay. That's fine with me. How do you – I mean, let's talk about that first.
Let's talk about it.
What do you think?
Jey Uso?
How do you feel about them opening the show? Are those – do you guys like choosing those two? Would you – Greg's a promoter. Would you have picked a different match to start each night?
I do like to start hot. I have had a lot of success with that. I don't do it on every single event. There's some other events where I haven't, but I'm a big fan of that. If you're not last, you might as well be first mentality. We used to have an intermission, so the match before intermission was also considered a main event. But I do like to kick things off in a major way. Talent doesn't mind going on early as well. Plus, I mean, from a crowd perspective and a hype perspective, and I don't know enough about the stadium to know if it'll be dark in the stadium because it does have a solid roof, so I'm hoping it is. Having the first thing at WrestleMania 41 be Jey Uso's entrance, likely through the crowd, pretty damn appealing to me, right? Like, you've got everybody doing what they're going to be doing. Depending on who you think is going to win that match, that would also be a tone setter. So I have no problem with Gunther versus Jey Uso going on first. From a wrestling analyst standpoint, it makes no sense for that match to be like the overall main event of WrestleMania. But if you look at it from a casual fan standpoint, it wouldn't even be the worst choice in the world to have closed night to be perfectly honest with you. Jey Uso is literally one of the most popular people in the world in terms of WWE right now. So, but I like it. I think that's fine. Putting the three-way for the women on first, I would have liked to have seen it like maybe right before Cena versus Cody. But again, you're starting hot. The first person out the gate's probably going to be Rhea Ripley. Again, you get that monster pop for her coming out. It's a second year in a row that she's doing that, but I'm okay with it. And yeah, I have no problem with those whatsoever. Well, if you're not last, it doesn't really make a difference. You might as well be first.
Yeah, because you know you can.
You know, Ricky Bobby said.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, you can switch from light beer to whatever you really like. Your match is over now in the back. DP, how do you feel about these two opening each night?
Yeah, I think we talked about it a few weeks ago too, like having Jey Uso open WrestleMania with his entrance, the crowd pop, how over he is, just makes absolute total sense for him to start WrestleMania. I think that's a huge way to start things off. And like Greg said, you know, if you who you think is going to win this match, you know, could potentially, you know, start the day off really, really hot. And certainly could have been the last match of the night, but we obviously have kind of some bigger things going on that makes sense to close the shows. So I think this match opening the show makes more sense than trying to fit it in the middle somewhere or second to last or something, because it kind of just, I think you lose a little bit there. I feel sorry for who's going to go after them in match two.
Right, yeah.
But you know, that's going to be a tough spot.
Probably the match we're going to start with here, and we'll get back to both of those matches and break it down, our thoughts on what's going to happen. But I'm this is the Drunk Wrestling Intellect podcast, so I'm going to stick with the order that I have available in here in front of me instead of jumping back and forth and missing something as I take a drink of beer for the working man. Because I'm off tomorrow, and Stone Cold Steve Austin is the bomb, and, you know, too bad he never had that match with Kevin Owens, Greg. Let's talk about War Machine.
Never happened.
And War Machine, I'm calling him War Machine. I don't care. I drank with War Machine in a bar more than once, so I'm calling him War Machine. Against the New Day. You guys know what I find funny is the New Day is trying their best to be heels, and everybody's so excited for them to win the titles.
They really are. You know, it's I don't know. It's hard to get them over as heels really well. I mean, they try to do it with Big E, and then, you know, that kind of dissipated because Big E isn't around. So it's hard to keep that going. And they're likable guys. So it's hard to do, especially, you know, you have Woods doing all his up, up, down, down stuff. You know, people like them. So it's hard to, you know, hate them or want to root against them no matter who they're wrestling against.
Well, right, and Kofi has one of the biggest underdog, you know, championship title reigns in history. So what do you think, Greg?
They're just amazing performers, and people do root for amazing performers. I mean, Kevin Owens is a great example of that. And they did the Big E thing, but they didn't attack Big E. They just kind of talked shit to him and told him to leave. So, like, to me, they needed to do more than that to really. And not only that, the War Raiders, War Machine, Viking Raiders, Viking Experience, whatever you're going to call them, they show up to look at the New Day. And for most of us, it was like, oh, yeah, that's who holds the World Tag Team Championships on Raw. Because they were off TV for a month before that. And whereas New Day was on TV for the month. So they also didn't do themselves any favor by keeping the champions off TV while letting the New Day go out there and still be entertaining, even though they're heels.
What's really difficult about the tag team division too is like they just don't give them enough time. Like, you know, put more on television. We don't see them often enough. We don't see the titles defended. We don't see the champions doing anything. It's really hard to get behind a lot of these tag teams. I mean, we talked about it before, like potentially having, you know, a four-way tag team matches with all these teams, because there's a lot of talent in there, especially on the SmackDown side. And we just don't see them often enough or get them out there enough and give me a reason to root for one team over the other.
I look at the Intercontinental Championship, which I know we'll talk about later. It was main eventing Raw for several weeks in a row and was a big deal. And now that four-way match at WrestleMania is a big deal. Depending on the result of this match, you could put yourselves in a position where the tag team championships could also main event Raw in the future. So, but I do agree, they've proven they know how to make it work with titles like the United States Championship, all the new women, the mid-card championships for the women. You can apply the same exact principles and theories and practices to the tag titles, which they've done a little bit on SmackDown, but you could do it on Raw as well.
New Day feels like the overwhelming favorite, but I think what's needed is what's going to be my pick, and that's putting over War Machine at WrestleMania. Give them a big WrestleMania win. Turn them into one of the foundations of a better tag team division, because right now the tag team division, and especially the men's, is a second-class citizen in the WWE, and just the proof that, you know, there wasn't really much build to this at all between these two, right? New Day was being bad, but they weren't feuding with these guys for more than, what, 4 or 5 weeks, maybe?
At best,
yeah. Yeah, so that's being lenient on it. But at least it's a one-on-one match, and I feel like, you know, what does New Day get out of this? Another title reign? You know, they'd be better off, you know. Go ahead, Dan. You want to give your idea of what's going to happen? I know what everybody's going to pick, and let me let you in on a little secret, folks. The tunny part of the chair shot staff picks have not been put into the article yet. And I don't even know who I'm going to pick until we are done discussing the match here. So, I'm going to go with War Machine.
What's crazy is, you know, I wanted to start off before I start making picks by saying, like, what I loved about this WrestleMania almost is they could go a lot of ways. A lot of these matches, you know, you could go either way with a lot of these, which is great, because there's a lot of pay-per-views or PLEs that, you know, it are very predictable. And like a lot of these, like, you could take it any way you wanted to and still get a good storyline coming out the other side to go, you know, even further. So, you know, I made those picks and I'm like, man, tomorrow I might change my thought and everything, which is really cool. So it's very, makes the match, you know, that much more exciting for all of these to watch. I picked War Raiders to retain as well, or War Machine. I have Big E making a comeback and making a distraction and distracting the New Day enough that, you know, War Machine gets a cheap victory. And maybe we play out that storyline when Big E made the comeback and they talk shit to him. I'm really hoping they pay that off. I'm glad we brought it up, because if not, then it really did a terrible job, because the New Day aren't necessarily getting over his heels. And I think they need that Big E story to come back and at least finish it off one way or the other.
To me, it's about my picking. I think War Raiders need the win more, but I think the titles need the New Day more right now, because I think they'll get more recognition. They'll be on television more, that sort of thing. So it's a tough call, but I'm going with New Day to win. I thought about the Big E thing as well. I just don't know that he can wrestle. And if he can't wrestle, then there's no payoff, in my opinion, in the eyes of the fans. So it was a tough one to pick, but I'm going New Day. By the way, I don't even remember what I picked for my chair shot staff pick, so some of these may differ.
If you guys pick something different, I'll play a soundbite, weird soundbite or something. But you guys, one for one. Way
to go, New Day.
Way to go, guys. One for one. Broadcast school is really paying off. Jade Cargill and Naomi. I'll go first here. It's short and simple. I think this one's pretty easy. I think it's Jade. Their expected ceiling for Jade is way higher than Naomi, so why not start off her WrestleMania singles career with a W instead of an L?
You know, there was somebody in WWE who we never would have expected to become a main eventer and become a world champion and a Hall of Famer. Because he was just running around as one half of the Acolytes, and that was JBL. And one day they cut his hair, put him in a limo, and next thing you know, he becomes world champion. I think they might give Naomi a push.
Yeah.
So, and they might push Naomi a little bit harder. To me, it's about like what happens next. And I just don't know what they see with Jade versus what they see with Naomi. So I'm going gut instinct here. Maybe Big Jim gets involved and causes some distraction for Jade Cargill.
Those are the only ass shots. Those are the only ass shots Naomi's taken lately, she said.
It's the only ass shot she's taken, and maybe she'll take some on Saturday night being victorious. So it's a shot in the dark, but I'm going to go Naomi to beat Jade Cargill with the help of Big Jim.
Yeah, I got Jade on this one as well. I think they had their opportunities to give Naomi a push. I'd love to see it, you know, even more, but it was weird. I didn't like this buildup. I think I put in the chair shot notes that I'm very nervous for this match because a lot of Jade's matches so far haven't necessarily been great and really haven't been singles matches. So they're putting her out there to, you know, show what she can do. And I hope it turns out awesome, but I'm very nervous. You know, I thought the storyline also needed Bianca in there. I thought this was going to be more of a triple threat type of thing. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's still going that way at some point. You know, maybe, you know, Bianca's kind of been a little heelish, at least, you know, potentially that happens. And we make this more of a story. But I think I'm with PC on this one. I think Jade's got to start off her singles career with a big win at the WrestleMania stage. They probably keep this feud going, you know, at least until, is it still Backlash? I don't even know anymore.
It is still Backlash.
Ring the bell. Ring the bell for yourself, Dan. Do it.
Yeah.
Way to go. Proud of you.
So, yeah, I'm hoping maybe they pull Bianca back into it and make it a triple threat at Backlash and maybe keep the story going a little bit because I think there's more to do there and you know, get Cargill off on the right foot in singles, you know, with the help of Naomi and Bianca in there.
All right, let's keep rolling here. Let's move on to the United States Championship being defended by LA Knight. Come on, everybody. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Taking on Jakob Fatu.
Yeah.
There he is. I like Jakob. Jakob Fatu. You guys, does that sound better?
Jakob?
Yeah, he'd probably kick my ass if I said that to him. Go ahead, Greg. I'll let you start this one off.
This is all about all these. The easiest way to pick in wrestling is if you can figure out what's going to come next, right? That's the easiest way to pick. By the way, you guys should have told me we're wearing maroon at red today, and I could have done that. But
this is red. That's
a maroon.
Yeah, yeah. You are a maroon.
But I think everyone is going to assume that Jakob Fatu is winning this match. I do think something happens with the bloodline, whether they do the full-on turn or where they continue to tease it and there's some accidental. I think somehow, though, we can't call it the bloodline anymore. The family, as Solo has been calling it, comes into play, and LA Knight ends up retaining thanks to the family and things backfiring.
Dan?
Yeah, I could see the family getting involved here one way or the other. I mean, most likely that's probably going to happen. I think that's the only way we see him losing is if they come in and cost him and he's like, you know, hey, I don't need your guys' help anymore. You know, I can go on my own or whatever. It's hard to pick against Fatu, though, with just his dominance, the way he's getting over with everything. It feels like a good time to put the title on him and let him go through the summer with the championship until we, you know, find a good contender for him at SummerSlam and maybe drop the title there. I think the summer is a great opportunity to do that and build him even more, even if they still push him away from the rest of the guys or not. I like Jakob Fatu coming out of there with the title.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's time for that belt to come off of LA Knight, right? They expect him to at least be a guy who main events some, you know, not so gigantic pay-per-views, you know, with a title shot. Maybe he's a transitional champion. Maybe they have bigger plans for him than that. But I definitely think, like DP saying, let's get a belt on Fatu and see what happens. I can almost see them distancing him from the entire bloodline whatsoever. Why not? You know what I'm saying? Let's see what he can do, because the people are dying to cheer this guy. You know?
They are.
And if you see him backstage, or, you know, since he's come to WWE, you know, outside of character, he seems, and folks, we don't know anything, but I'm about to put him over here. He seems like he's very conscious of how blessed he is to be in the position he is in, considering the life and challenges that he's had. And he is such a sweetheart around the kids too. Like, you know, I mean, most people are around their family, but you can just see the genuine good guy in him come out when he's around kids. So I'm rooting for Jacob Fatu. I'm picking him to win. And I'm also rooting for LA Knight to maybe get into some bigger storylines. And to be honest with you, if John's going to hold the belt and have some title defenses, LA Knight could be a guy he could defend it against. Seeing as someone that he could defend it against and raise up, you know, giving him a big rub that way. Obviously not someone facing John at SummerSlam if he has the belt or something like that. So,
if you think about what you just said about Jacob Fatu, and I just popped into my head, he's basically the modern day version of Booker T when it comes to that life turnaround and that type of life story, not as a coming out of a tag team, but just in general, prison time, all of that. So yeah, it's a great story.
Tempted to play Harlem Heat, but I would like this episode to stay up, you know, for more than a week. So I'll just go ice. That's all I can do. If I do any more, to pay, I don't know who we even have to pay. They just show up and I pay them. Charlotte and Tiffany Stratton. I am just so underwhelmed by the whole damn thing. Period. I don't have anything else to say, Dan.
Well, good, because that's all I wanted to say too. Which is one of the reasons I didn't put any notes on this match, because
you did not.
I just felt like the build was. I got nothing for this thing. The build to me hasn't been great. The last time they were in the ring, they started supposedly going off script and talking a lot about personal stuff, which just seemed very awkward. And like, to me, kind of didn't do it for me. I do like that Tiffany did seem to hold her own. I know we were kind of worried, that she had to step up. You know, I think this is kind of the litmus test for her of, stepping up and being able to talk on the mic, being able to stand up with Charlotte and be up there and be online with her. I feel like she's gotten a lot more comfortable, it seems, and being able to talk back and things like that too. So I'm happy for that. And I think this match is going to be a great match. I don't see anything spectacular happening out of it. I think it's just going to be a really, really good match. And I think Stratton's going to hang on to the title here. I think she's proven herself enough that I don't think Charlotte needs the title again at this point right now. I think Stratton holding on to it for a little longer is a better play, and let her run with this thing and build her up even more to even higher top level talent.
In honor of Lee Corso retiring, you know Lee Corso's like famous catchphrase, right, Greg?
Not so fast, my friend.
All right. I want you to, if you can remember what you put as your quip for this match, I want you to give me the sentence, which is three words if you want to count one as a word. I want you to say Lee Corso's catchphrase, and then I want you to say the three words you said in parentheses. Do you remember?
I remember part of it, but not the whole thing. I do know that I said, LOL, Charlotte loses.
No, you said, LOL, Charlotte wins, period. Not so fast, my friend. In parentheses, actually, she doesn't.
Actually, she doesn't. Yeah, I think that might be wishful thinking on my part. I know DP just picked that as well, but
are you changing your
first
pick?
Of all,
are you changing?
I'm not changing. I'm sticking with Charlotte. I'm sticking with Tiffany Stratton. I'm just worried that I'm going to be wrong. I think this match is going to stink. I really do. I think Charlotte seems to be in this weird place right now where she wants to be held in this regard of probably the greatest of all time. And I think she wants to be viewed as the Roman Reigns of women's wrestling. is what she wants to be viewed as. And I think she's either going to sandbag or shoot or do something. I just don't think this match is going to be very good.
Let's talk about that. Let's just answer this question, yes or no. Mm-hmm. I say yes. She is the greatest women's wrestler of all time already. Do you?
I don't know. So I guess no.
Dan?
I would say yes right now.
But she's definitely not even close to being one of the best women's wrestlers in the world right now. She just doesn't have
right.
it.
Yeah.
That's all. I interrupted you for that. I interrupted you for that, Greg. You seem very underwhelmed. Continue.
No, it's you might be spot on, though. That's the sad part. So I'm sticking with Tiffany Stratton. I'm just really worried. I hope this match doesn't go on second to last on Saturday because I think it'll kill the crowd. I just think that Charlotte came back in this weird place, went through a whole lot of shit over the last year, and I just think she's not where she needs to be mentally, physically, any of it. And I just don't know that it's going to – thank God this isn't Becky Lynch because Becky would have torn her to shreds by now. And maybe Becky returns right after this match. It could be a great spot for that. It wouldn't shock me if Charlotte goes away again after losing. Like,
she just got
I know. She's done that before, though. Like, there was one time she came back December through WrestleMania and then gone again. So,
so
I don't know.
The fans aren't helping her a lot either.
No, with the fans see right through what she's doing. You add in the plastic surgery, which people shouldn't care about, but we do. I
don't care about
Charlotte's
that.
Like this weird thing right now. I'm picking Tiffany Stratton. I'm sticking with my pick.
I don't care about the plastic surgery. Like, she needs to put some meat around her hips. She's her pants don't even.
Well, she's never had that.
Well, so. I mean, even she used to have a little bit. And whatever. It's here nor there.
Yeah.
So I think Tiffany Stratton's WrestleMania career is going to mirror a coffee drinker's life. Because what happens is you start out, you put cream and sugar in your coffee, and then you put cream in your coffee, and then you drink it black, and then you switch to decaf, and then you die. And in Tiffany Stratton's case, it's I get to go to WrestleMania as champion, but I lose. And then I go to WrestleMania to challenge, and I win. And then maybe somewhere down the road, I get to go to WrestleMania as champion and retain. Because those are really like the three levels of you know, WrestleMania championship, you know, situations.
Right.
I got Charlotte winning 15 here. I think she's around through at least SummerSlam and the pay-per-view after. Whether or not she takes another break between that and Royal Rumble, who knows? I'd like to see her stick around, you know, for 2 years straight, but I guess that's asking a lot.
Not if her programs are going to go like this one.
Yeah, it hasn't been great. I'll agree with you there. Well, let's get into something that has been great, and I think I can speak for both of you that you would definitely agree in those words. Rey Mysterio and El Grande Americano. DP, you have the best.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
No, that maybe is you. That is you. You do. You have the best scenario for this. I just want to say Patrick had the funniest quip. He picked out I'm trying not to reveal a whole ton of the article, but people are going to know who we picked. Patrick O'Dowd from the Greg DeMarco show, co-creator of and head chief villain of Bandwagon Nerds, picked El Grande Americano, and then in all caps, totally not Chad Gable. Very much laughed when I read that. But DP, go ahead. You have, I didn't even think of this.
Oh, man. You know, it's funny is I had two different scenarios, but I couldn't decide which one to pick. I went with this one, though.
Both of them are probably better than everybody's, but give us this one.
So I went with El Grande Americano to win this match. The way he's going to win this match, though, is the old switcheroo. If you think back to, you know, the Bellas or Kurt Angle and his brother kind of thing. Mm-hmm. El Grande Americano as Mr. Gable, potentially, going to be wrestling this match. And then at one point towards the end, he's going to get tossed out of the ring. And we're going to get a different El Grande Americano coming out from underneath the ring, who's going to finish the match and beat Rey Mysterio. While at the same time, Chad Gable will appear on the sidelines by the ring to prove that he is not El Grande Americano. And that way we get to, because the other option I had was we figure out that he's Chad Gable and then that's the end of everything. But I don't want it to end. So I don't want it to end. So this stretches that out even more. And now you can play the whole angle of, hey, it's not me. And I think that's an awesome way to end this match.
See, you almost have it, Dan. You're so close. The problem is the switcheroo isn't for a win. The switcheroo is right before or right after the loss. So when the mask comes off, it's not Chad Gable. Rey Mysterio wins.
If they do the switcheroo, I hope it's as stupid as everything else. I hope it's Julius Creed, who's like a foot and a half taller than Chad Gable, or Brutus.
Both of them then, right?
Or Pat McAfee. Like something that just doesn't make any sense whatsoever, because people don't realize that this is a comedy storyline. They want it to be serious. But I mean, the dude was from the Gulf of America. This is the most MAGA coded storyline they've done in forever as well. But it's not meant to be serious and people want it to be serious. I think Gable will become serious again after it's over. But
listen,
yeah, maybe they pull like Miles Bourne out of NXT or somebody who physically can make sense. But I think that, yeah, for me, I would love if it was fucking Julius Creed. And then let Julius win, because Julius is a star in waiting anyway.
I think that the OTC has plenty of pull backstage and said, hey, I want to see some more storylines lean right.
He's a registered Democrat.
Yes, and he also came out and told everybody that he did vote for Trump. Did you see that today?
As a registered Democrat. He means he actually picked a client.
He said, I'm more of a centrist. I'm not trying to get political, but he did come out and I seen this today. He said, I'm more of a centrist. And we were talking about it in some, there's been so many fucking chats. I was like, breaking news, rich guy leans right. Back to you.
Yeah, right.
Anyway. Let's continue on. I think all the ideas are great. Dan, switcheroo, I like it either way. And Greg is right. This is the comedy one. This should be they all of them should have a Grande Americano mask. And the two guy, the brothers should be under the ring the whole night.
And,
you know, and then he's fucking like you said. Yeah, it's.
Ooh, it keeps changing throughout the match. Yeah. Different. Even Ivy Nile Smuffing gets in there at some point wearing the mask. Like.
Well, sure, that works. That works, yeah. I love it. I love it. All right, Hunter, there you go. You got it. Go okay. Crazy. Yeet? Yeah. I mean, there ain't much to talk about here. I'll go first. Gunther's boring as fuck, man. I want to pick him so bad here. Like, I mean, shocker. Everyone picked Jey Uso, guys. Everybody. Big shocker. And they all said pretty much the same damn thing. There's Yeet in like five of these fucking things. Jay's got to get it, right? I mean, here's the biggest thing that comes from this match for me. How does Gunther handle himself now? Because he was a monster in NXT UK, and he came over and he's a monster in NXT, and he was just going for that title, going for the next title, came up, made the Intercontinental Championship relevant more than any mid-card title has been since possibly Macho, right? Maybe there's somewhere along the line that's right at Brett and Roddy, I don't know. Perfect had some interesting runs too against a lot of really good guys. But
Shawn Michaels, yeah.
Shawn Michaels, yeah, and Razor, obviously. But what's he going to do now? That's going to be the
real... There's a ton of people on the roster with Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest, folks like that who've been world champion who now are no longer world champion. That's going to be Gunther. I hope he goes more the Drew McIntyre route than the Damian Priest route, although Priest is not as bad as people want to claim he is. But I actually think it'll be good to see Gunther in a program that doesn't involve the championship. He's a prize fighter kind of, I know it's Kevin Owens thing, but he's a prize fighter kind of a wrestler. So having titles be around him makes sense. But like, and I know we may not see it, but I would love a Gunther Brock Lesnar feud. Gunther CM Punk could be great. There's a lot of things they could do that would be highly entertaining where Gunther doesn't need a title. Plus, that's kind of the mark of a real marquee WWE superstar is when you don't need the title, like a Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre, and such. So
here's the thing, though. I don't know that he needs a title, but he needs an upper echelon guy to go against. He's not gonna bring anybody else up. He's gonna gonna be better
at this point.
Right, and that's my problem with him, DP.
Yeah, and that, you know, I'm glad Greg brought that up too. Like, he's got to be able to perform without being in a title match, and he needs a guy like him, Drew McIntyre, like you said, you know, somebody at the upper echelon level, at the higher level, to match up against. He's not going to necessarily make somebody big. You know, Jey Uso's already there. Like, he's not making Jey Uso at this point. So I think they're going to take the summer and say, okay, you can have, you know, if, you know, Sheamus, McIntyre, Priest, like all those guys that are like, you can put them in a title match anytime you want, but they're not in the title picture right now. Like, that's the level. And he's got to have some matches with them, carry storylines with them, and see if he can do that and continue to have the opportunity. He can still wrestle for title matches, but you're not always, like, you know, you're not always going to be there. So he's got to do them both. He's got to be able to do them both.
How far out is Bronson Reed? Because, like, a long-term non-title blood feud with him coming back, because people are going to cheer the fuck out of him, right? And he's the perfect guy to be, like, the stone-cold good guy against Gunther.
I know that it's not the level of guy that he needs, but there's a program there with Ludwig Kaiser that's just waiting to happen. So
I don't disagree with that at all.
Especially the way Ludwig handled everything that he handled in the recent, like, he posted the Shawn Michaels gift telling Diana Hart Smith not to flatter herself in response to Charlotte Flair. I mean, Ludwig is brilliant, and I think Ludwig and Gunther would be a great program. Can we just say something about Jey Uso real quick? Because I know we all considered it an afterthought. For everybody listening who thinks, like, this came out of nowhere and is stupid and all that, first of all, I'm, like, the only human on the planet that picked Jey Uso to win the Men's Royal Rumble match.
Ring the bell. I don't know anybody else that did.
So I picked Jey Uso because I just saw it coming. Plus, he did this weird promo on the Raw beforehand. The same exact promo he just did on Raw this week, standing on the announce table, by the way.
Scary.
Foretelling. But Jey Uso main event at SummerSlam in 2023. This is not like an overnight sensation for Jey Uso. So he's there. He's been there, and it is finally time. So, but I don't see Jey Uso losing. I just, that's why I said if Jey loses, we riot, and we don't. So, because the crowd would. If Jey Uso loses, the next five matches will get booed out of the building by that crowd.
Well, yeah. So if it opens WrestleMania, it's already a, let's not do that. Let's just not. We don't need to be like,
it's the surest of sure things.
We don't be like, hey guys, maybe like this could happen. No, stop.
I didn't even do that. I'm usually the one that Jey says, Uso. Hey, everybody's picking this person, so clearly it's going the other way.
No, it's Jey. Talk about something that I can't even give you my pick, because I'm going to have to just do it when I have to hit publish tomorrow. Seth and Roman and Punk. And this is just filled with interweaving storylines from over a decade. And it's so juicy and it's so tender, Greg. Why don't you tell everybody what you think's going to happen?
First of all, I think Seth Rollins is going to win. I just can't imagine a world where Triple H is like giving CM Punk that main event, but I don't think that. Plus, Roman Reigns is a very influential person backstage, and I think Roman is going to want Seth to win, believe it or not. Like, if Roman doesn't win, and I don't think Roman needs to win. I don't think him losing 2 years in a row is that big of a deal as people think. I think that Seth Rollins, yeah, he kind of got his WrestleMania main event last year, but it was in a tag match with Cody against The Rock and Roman. Like, this to me is more of the Seth Rollins show. And just looking at it, like Roman's already had his. Punk's getting his moment by being in the main event and probably having Cult of Personality played live as he comes out. I think Seth leaves this match the winner and potentially goes more heel. He can be a challenger for Jey Uso. He can go to SmackDown and be a challenger there. There's a lot that Seth can do. I love the idea of Seth Rollins leaving with Paul Heyman. I don't know if it'll happen, but I love that. They'll love that idea. Heyman being linked to Lesnar, Punk, Roman, and Rollins. Like, those are all Hall of Fame names. That's kind of a Heyman thing to do, right? Is to hitch his wagon to establish stars. Because it didn't work with Cesaro anyway. So, but to me, and I love Cesaro, but to me, I got to go with Seth Rollins here. And I just don't want The Rock to be anywhere near it. That's all. I don't need Seth Rollins to sell his soul to The Rock. I don't need that at all. I think it would make Rollins look stupid. It kind of goes against, I know Rollins made a joke about it in an interview, but it kind of goes against everything that Seth Rollins is about and everything he's complained about. So I just don't want The Rock anywhere near. I kind of don't want The Rock anywhere near any of this, but for this match especially, I think that I would much rather Brock Lesnar return and help Rollins win and Heyman kind of build this super thing that builds towards War Games with a super heel team for Heyman. But I'm going Rollins regardless.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at Aura.com/listen. That's Aura.com/listen.
I preface this by saying don't read the article then, at least my pick for this match, because I also picked Rollins. But I said with help from The Rock. So,
yeah, eat a big bag of shit, Greg.
it was tough for me to pick that because I wanted to pick. I think Seth Rollins is going to win this match, and I feel like he was going to be with help from somebody, and maybe that's the case. I think it would be cool to see Lesnar come back and Heyman, you know, switch sides to that and do something like that. I felt like The Rock needed to be involved somewhere in this. And just felt like, you know, he did this whole thing with Cena selling his soul and he disappeared. Like it never really cashed in that whole thing. And it didn't, to me, that whole part just really made no sense to me. And if he comes back and helps someone else and starts to build a faction himself too, that would make a lot of sense. And, you know, it'd be cool still to build the War Games for something else, you know, with those groups. But I feel like The Rock's going to show up somewhere. And this, to me, this is the only place, unless they do something with the Cody Rhodes Cena match. I just don't know. I said, a couple months ago, I think, watch Paul Heyman. So this story, this is all about Paul Heyman.
It is.
You know, Andrew Blaz was on our show and made a point of, you know, how, you know, Heyman is so influential. And I'm like, yeah, like now pay attention to what he's wearing, pay attention to what he does, what he says, because you watch him and his mannerisms and the way his facial stuff changes. He does such a great job with showing what he's doing and how he's feeling and where he's going. And you watch what he changed into. You knew like he's going to go out with CM Punk because the outfit changed, his mannerisms changed. And that's exactly what's been happening. And it's completely played out that exact way.
And remember, this guy once left Roman Reigns for Brock Lesnar. Like, it's not like this is an unheard of thing. I think the possibility of him going with Rollins has more to do not with the fake favor that Rollins created, but everything that Rollins said to Heyman about how everyone's used him and about how these aren't really his friends and where were your friends and where was everything else. Like, I think that has more to do with potentially Rollins and Heyman being linked and then this fake favor that Rollins came up with by not stomping him. So
I can't pick right now. It's interesting though. It feels like that fake favor thing was like, if it is true that Paul and Seth are working together, then that was just a setup
right
from Paul and Seth. Like that was pre-planned to get, you know, anyway.
The whole thing could be a setup by Roman. And the favor thing and all that just to get what he wanted. Because even if Heyman's not in his corner, Heyman's still standing there waiting for Roman to arrive at at Raw. I mean,
you know,
they can still talk on the phone. Like
The Rock, yeah. The Rock helping Seth pissing off Roman does kind of set up maybe Roman and finally getting Roman and Rock at WrestleMania. Like, Roman came out this week too and said he's got a little bit of time left on his contract, so much time left on his current contract.
Right.
Do you know how much that is? Like a year?
He apparently it expires after WrestleMania 42.
Okay. And he said probably going to go another year or two after that, and that's going to be about it. So you figure 44 is probably his last WrestleMania.
Here's the other thing that people fail to remember. SummerSlam is in MetLife Stadium for two nights this year. That's going to be more people probably than this WrestleMania. So they need WrestleMania main event matches. You know, you're not getting Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa in a bullshit SummerSlam main event like you had last year. You might get Cena versus Reigns, Cena versus Rock, Cody versus Reigns again, Roman versus Rock in SummerSlam because they've got to fill a football stadium two nights in a row.
This is going to be the most WrestleMania SummerSlam ever. Well, that's true. Well, that's the way it's just going to be, you know. I hope another thing, the way it's going to be is more, more Raws and SmackDowns in Europe and to continue the 2 to 3 PLEs outside there. Because honestly, when I get home from work on Monday and I can turn on Raw and be done watching it before 6 o'clock, that's awesome. And if I can start drinking at 11 in the morning because we're in Saudi on a Saturday, me and DJ are coming at your ass right after the show. So that's just the way that goes, you know. Any thoughts on this night one that we didn't get to? I think we covered it all pretty well. All right, cool.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Well, solid.
Let's kick it over to Kenny Killen. We'll be right back.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Real quick, you can find all the podcasts on thechairshot.com and all of your favorite streaming platforms. Mine used to be Spotify. I got to think about it now. And I just want to plug Cash Mania. Ray did a Badlands with Mags, which was out Sunday. He did the State of Black Wrestling with him, Kenny, Rob, and Chris. That was out Tuesday. He brought back the Total Package with him and DJ. That was out Tuesday. Wednesday afternoon, him and Dave did a episode of Attitude of Aggression talking about guys who are not in the WWE Hall of Fame. Yesterday, Thursday, all day, all Ray Cashmania, Ricky and Clive returned to Chairshot Radio Network with Ray Cash, and I can't wait to listen to this. I'm saving it actually for after WrestleMania when I go back to work because I need stuff to listen to at work. The Outsider's Edge returns with Carl, Kyle, and Ray. Miss that show, miss those other two guys. I do get to talk to them, but yeah, shout out to Ray Cash, big props, brother. Way to have a great WrestleMania week. I appreciate it, especially. Now, let's get into night two. We're going to start with that women's triple threat match, Io, Rhea, and Bianca. I'm going Rhea. Think about it. Run towards the smell. If it doesn't make sense she's in this match, kind of, well, then she must be in the match for a reason. And honestly, she is their number one female. There is not even a question in the world about it. And I think there's no reason not to bring that back. You know, we talk about Naomi. Maybe Bianca turns heel. Maybe she doesn't and goes ahead and has a feud with her, too. There's tons of things you can do with Bianca. I know you can do a lot with Rhea, but I think Rhea's better with the belt here for the summer. Dan?
You kind of hit it with Rhea. Like, it just didn't make sense.
No, I'm just kidding.
Just didn't make sense that she was put into this match the way they were going around with the storyline. And it seemed really, it seemed odd that they took the title and gave it to Io when this whole buildup's been Belair and Ripley. Like, that was what we seemed to be going towards. And then all of a sudden, Io's the champ and now gets put into this. And it seemed like a very odd story of, you know, her being the outsider as champion because these two are feuding and getting shoved out of the way during all this stuff and her having to stand up for herself and be like, no, I'm the fucking champ here. Like, you guys need to respect me, which is why I think she's going to win this match, is because these two are kind of more of the focal point when it comes to the feud, the story, is them two. They're going to be wrapped up with each other, and Io's going to be the one that comes out of this thing with the title, while they can go on and feud with each other somewhere else. But I think that's just going to piss both of them off a little more. Bianca can turn more into that heel, I think. I feel like she's going to be going heel at this point. And I just think this is a great opportunity for Io to, you know, prove herself even more. I mean, she's, if not the great, arguably the greatest wrestler with women as far as wrestling in ring talent, she's goddamn good. And I think this is an opportunity for her to just go, hey, I just beat Bianca and Rhea on the main stage of WrestleMania. You need to give me my props.
WrestleMania is an international show, right? There's people from all over the world that come here. Take a look at the card. She's the only Japanese wrestler on the card, is Io Sky. That's why this match and the build went the way it did. It made sense to have Io win the title in a shocking way and then find her way in. It makes perfect sense that Rhea's in the match, given how many times Bianca's cost her the title. Her being in the match makes sense. Although to me, the way they were building it kept my dream of Rhea Ripley versus Dominic Mysterio alive. But they killed that when they finally made this match official. Yeah, the whole she signed the contract thing was stupid, but her being in the match still makes sense in the long run. That all said, like, what if Bianca accidentally helps, because Bianca accidentally helps a lot of people win, accidentally helps Naomi win on Saturday, but then Naomi purposefully helps Bianca win on Sunday, and now we actually have the full revelation. This has been a thing for Bianca and Naomi ever since they attacked Jade Cargill, and this is because Naomi hasn't really fought Bianca this whole time. So I think we might see that Bianca heel turn and maybe the start of something that could potentially involve Montez or the Street Profits. Like, sometimes they got to make a major shift after WrestleMania, and that could be the major shift that takes place. So my heart says Io Sky, but my mind says Bianca Belair.
I've said in the past in those build up to WrestleMania, maybe even the build up to Royal Rumble, that you can utilize these relationships better. Like Bianca and Tez, and especially Tiffany and Ludwig, right? So I don't know. Maybe it's something that Hunter doesn't want to put the stress on that like they used to back in the day. I mean, Vince really, I mean, even with his own daughter. But anyway, let's move on. Intercontinental Championship. DP loves that. Not really. Greg, kick us off on this one.
So this is the rare match at WrestleMania in any circumstance where when we do our show, we like to do who should win, who will win. There's no answer to who should win. All four are great choices to win the match. There's no one guy in here that you're like, oh no, that person can't win the match. Like, Braun is building a legacy. That makes sense for him. Finn Balor he's Finn Balor. He's building a Hall of Fame career. That makes sense for him. Dominic Mysterio would be amazing with the title as a shitty ding heel. Penta is on this meteoric rise, and putting the belt on him would be a shocker for a lot of people, but would be believable. He wouldn't even have to hold it for a long time. I love this match, and I have a think this is going to steal the show, number one. But number two, I can't help but think in the end that, like, this is, and maybe it's me because they took away the match that I really wanted. I think Dominic's going to win this match and leave with the Intercontinental Champion, and that's going to be it. Either he pins Finn or he steals Finn's pin on somebody else. Like, Finn hits the double stomp off the top, whatever he calls it. Dominic pushes him out the ring, makes the cover, 1, 2, 3, something like that. I just think that that Dominic's going to leave with the title, and it's going to further drive the well and maybe be the nail in the coffin for Finn Balor in this feud, to the point where Finn eventually wins this title from Dominic as the Demon again. But also think about this, like, the Intercontinental title right now is more important than it's even than when Gunther held it. Like, they've managed to make this belt so important and such an integral part of it all. But, yeah, I think they've done more to make people care about this match than they have in a long time. It's been the main event of Raw multiple weeks in a row. But yeah, I'm going Dominic. I think Dominic is the story, and Dominic is the most fun pick. So you can't go wrong with either of them, but hell yeah, let's put it on Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, I also picked this as my potential match of the weekend. I think this one's going to steal the show. And yeah, I mean, the Intercontinental title has been very much more prominent. It certainly seems like it's more important now than it was, you know, even when Gunther had it. And I think that's because there's more people going for it. You know, we're showing people want the title and going after it and attacking the other people that are trying to go after it and making this a very important storyline. And
that's a great point.
And the fact
it's not just one guy at a time.
Yeah.
Everybody wants it. Everybody's trying to fight everybody for it. And it makes that much more interesting. And yeah, they're all, and like you said, everybody could walk away with this title. That's what makes it even greater.
And no one would be
everybody
upset.
Has given you a reason. Yeah. And and it'll be great no matter what. And I think on the other side, you can come up with some really, really great matches. And I also had Dominic as the pick because I think this is the time for Dominic to step up even more. I think this is a perfect opportunity for him to take that title and start more of the wedge that's going on in the Judgment Day. I had him pinning Finn Balor, but I do like the idea of him stealing Finn Balor's pin because that, I think that would piss off Balor even more. And Balor versus Dominic for a couple months or whatever would be fantastic feud. And, you know, Dom and Liv can go be their own thing, and the Judgment Day kind of implodes a little bit there and is done. And Dominic holding that title for the summer, or even if it goes back and forth with a bunch of these people in the storylines, is just going to continue to make this thing even greater.
Yeah.
This is tough. I mean, you're giving yourselves plenty of outs to take the IC title off of Breaker here without making him look bad at all, right? Like, this is literally why you do this match. I just don't think the time is right for him not to be the IC champ. I mean, what is he going to do? What is he going to elevate into?
Right. Yeah. What about a feud with Gunther that doesn't involve a title? We talked about it earlier.
Okay. Hey.
At least Braun's got some charisma.
Right.
What's on Netflix? Else is on Netflix.
It's like Rise.
I'm like, yeah, I just had to re-remember that. Yeah, I think Braun keeps it. I don't. Once again, here's the WrestleMania win for a guy who you think is going to be at the top of your roster for the next decade, right? At least, or hopefully, right? So that's I'm going with Braun. I think he can do all that stuff with Dom and Finn. You know, Dom can cost Finn. Finn can cost Dom. I see Finn out of the I don't see the Judgment Day dissolving. I see Finn just out. That's all.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. I mean, yeah, I just figured they're just if go the separate ways. If they want to keep calling them Judgment Day or whatever, fine. But I think it's just going to be.
No, I'm seeing some people.
I don't know if they're going to add new members or anything.
No, but here's
Finn
the thing.
Was the only reason why they haven't added new members. So
true. And I can see JD coming back and not being with Finn. Finn expecting him to be on his side, and he's just not.
True. And that would be a nice moment for JD to be the reason that this match ends. But completely unrelated to the result of this match and everything, if you've seen Penta's entrance on Raw over and over again, I just can't help but think he might have the best entrance at WrestleMania, too. Like, just take that and make it football stadium size. Like, that's a fucking badass entrance if you really think about it. So Penta, and given the nature of the crowd at WrestleMania and the Latino population that surrounds the state of Nevada, I think Penta might be one of the most over people with that crowd on this weekend.
He's just one of the most over people in general, I think. He's just done everything right since he came in.
He's walking overness, walking charisma.
Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest, I don't care. That might be what I write. I'm not sure yet. I just don't. Go ahead, Dan. I don't have anything else to say about this. Drew wins, by the way.
I think I missed this. Does this become a street fight?
It is is a Sin City street fight. Yes.
Ah.
This is the match that goes all over the stadium.
This is going to be as I said it in my notes anyway. Like, this is going to be the super physical match, the heavy hitting, bring out whatever and just beat the shit out of each other. You know, wear Sheamus when you need him, you know, banger after banger, you know, ass kicking until they can't stand up anymore. I got Drew McIntyre as well. I feel like, I don't know, McIntyre being next in line to get another title shot makes a lot of sense to me. And I don't know where you go at that point if you give him another loss. I think Priest would probably be more okay with the loss at this point, in my opinion. So it's just is going to be your, you know, super physical, two big boys going at it type of match.
Yeah, I think this is going to involve some kind of spot through some setup in the stadium with fake sparks and whatever. I envision the superplex from Shane McMahon and The Miz when they had their match back at WrestleMania, 35, I think. To me, I think that I picked Damian Priest. It could go either way. I think what's going to be amazing is whatever Drew McIntyre tweets after the match, because that's where he's at his best. Drew could lose this match and go on and challenge for a world title. They've done that with WrestleMania people, especially if it's the kind of finish that happens through some contraption throughout the arena or something like that. But to me, this is your holy shit spot match, and that's which they tend to have at WrestleMania. And I'm fine with it. But yeah, I just my gut instinct is Priest. It could go either way, and I think it'd be fine. Both guys are made. But I think I think Drew is more made, which is why I picked Priest.
We're going to put somebody through a slot machine and it's going to hit the jackpot and all the money's going to come rolling out when they hit them or something.
That sounds very AEW.
Through some poker tables.
No, yep.
No, we're not.
Huh? Gotta do something, Vegas. I mean, I don't know.
I was about to get really, I'm losing my edge, man. I think I was about to say something really funny that would have been very inappropriate. Instead, we're going to move on. I mean, Vegas. Anyway, there's something that is going on at WrestleMania that has really annoyed me, considering the article I'm trying to write. But then once I realized what I wanted to do with this situation, it's become one of my favorite parts of WrestleMania. Who will be Randy Orton's opponent? Nick Aldis seems to be the leader in the clubhouse. There's rumors of Rusev, Aleister Black. None of that makes any sense. Maybe Rusev, I don't know. Rusev seems like someone that would be better off to like help Cena win or something like that. Oh, we'll get to that, sorry. I don't know. Let me think about it for a couple minutes. Come back around to you guys, correct?
Rusev, he's going to get a monstrous pop whenever he returns. And so you don't do that against Randy Orton, in my opinion.
It should be Monday night.
That's my
right?
only problem with it.
It should be Monday night.
Yeah.
Monday after
Solo
Raw might be better.
They set up Solo.
Challenge Braun.
Solo's going to be a letdown if Solo's introduced as the opponent, unless it's announced for like Friday on SmackDown or something like that, right? If you do it on Friday on SmackDown or something, but if it's in the moment in the middle of the stadium, it kind of sucks because it should really be a heel. Like, remember when Cody came back, Rollins was a heel. Like, it should be a heel doing an open challenge if you're going to have that monster pop. I think it's going to be Nick Aldis in the end. I think they're going to have a competitive match. I think Orton's going to win, but he's going to do the handshake of respect, kind of nod to Nick Aldis. Now they're going to have their respect. It could set up Orton to be a challenger for a world title at Backlash. He is on the poster, but it's in St. Louis, so that's why he's on the poster. But I think Orton wins, and I think he beats Nick Aldis.
I did pick Rusev. You know, there's so many
keep screwing over all your stuff.
Well, you know, I'm right. So, you know,
wow. Well, in DP's defense, he was head and shoulders above everybody when we were doing this for a good, 18 to 24 months.
In every pay-per-view?
Not everyone, but in total. Yeah. All right, jackass, you're pushing it now.
Still. And this one, I don't know. I really don't. I'm just hoping for somebody like that to make their return. Obviously, it's imminent anyway. I do think the Raw after Mania might make a lot more sense for something like that, because it does make a lot of sense. Like, you usually want that big pop for a babyface returning. And you have the heel doing this kind of open thing, but they're kind of obviously handcuffed with what happened. So, yeah, I think any way could be really great. Aldis having a match would be really cool. It just, I don't think it's going to be Solo. I don't, kind of didn't think it'd be Aldis just because they've been doing their, you know, they've been talking about it. I feel like it's going to be somebody there.
When Orton mentioned Aldis as an option, I was like, fuck, now it's not going to happen. So yeah. I was a little worried about that.
So I think Aldis is younger come than out Randy. And introduce.
That's the crazy thing.
Well,
Orton's older than Aldis.
One of the best suggestions I've seen that you guys are kind of dancing around is Andrew saying Orton and Aldis versus Solo and Tama. Maybe Friday. And I'm thinking like Friday Orton comes out again, right? To Nick, like, okay, what did you like? I'm telling you, you're doing this. What did you decide? Solo and Tama come out again, like we had last week.
Right.
And Orton gives the whisper to Nick, and maybe Nick's like, okay. You know, you get Nick a WrestleMania match and win, right? And like he's loyal forever now. Not that he already isn't, but like that happens with Orton. Right. Then you got Orton over going into St. Louis. But I'd rather see unplanned and unannounced. You want a retirement match, bitch? You take 9 RKOs, you piece of shit. No, that's not happening. But that'd be fun.
Brilliant too.
Yeah, that's something you advertise though, because Goldberg does probably still tickets still the you know the name.
Yeah. Yeah,
so get or at least you know like extra eyeballs and shit like that. Yeah, I know Andrew's probably right. I like when Andrew pays attention to WWE because he catches some things that a lot of us don't. So
that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. More brilliant things like that and not so brilliant things in the ChairShot staff picks. Check it out. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. And head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Check it out. Makes a great gift as well. Okay, AJ Styles, Logan Paul. There's no reason for AJ to win here. I don't think. I'm going with Logan Paul. I mean, AJ doesn't need a WrestleMania win. Logan Paul could use the rub, and Logan Paul versus Jey Uso sounds like a really, really good SummerSlam match. You want a main event night one with somebody that's going to put eyeballs and mm-hmm. on the product? Jey Uso versus Logan Paul. Logan Paul could be your King of the Ring winner.
They're not doing it.
Well, fuck that stupid. I take it all back. AJ Styles. No, I'm kidding. Logan Paul. God damn it, Greg. Who invited him?
I don't know.
Now watch them do it, and I'd be wrong about that.
No, they're not. I don't think they're not doing it. I heard they're not doing it. You're right.
I do like AJ Styles winning this match, actually. I think either one of them can absorb the... Neither one of them necessarily need the win, but I think Logan Paul not necessarily being around all the time and only being around for the big events... AJ Styles winning this match and then going on AJ Styles versus Jey Uso sounds really intriguing as well, going through the summer too. Even if they or if they wait till SummerSlam, whatever. But that's a great opportunity for Jey Uso to work with somebody like AJ Styles. I mean, you can't go wrong with that kind of match. So I do like AJ Styles in this one. I think it's going to be obviously a really nice Logan Paul put up a good spot fest, a lot of high flying spots. I just think AJ having the opportunity to get back in the heavyweight title picture makes a lot of sense to me right now.
It's a great backlash match too, AJ Styles and Jey Uso, to establish Jey's run as champion if it's not a rematch with Gunther. I picked AJ Styles to win this match as well. I think Logan Paul will be up to his normal cheating ways. It'll backfire. Maybe there's a situation where Karrion Kross helps AJ win because he doesn't want the wrestler to lose to the celebrity, and he's trying to still convince AJ to come and join up with him, which won't happen. But I just, yeah.
Can I just say that, you know, I give a lot of people shit that I don't, I'm like, I don't like you, I don't like you. And, you know, Rhea came up from NXT, and I did not like her for a good year and a half. I needed her to prove herself and her character and believe more in herself and her character. And I have really not liked Karrion Kross, but
you know, over the last couple months, the guy's kind of come into his own backstage. They give him a couple, you know, 30, 45 seconds, and I'm starting to believe in that character he's portraying backstage. It's maniacal, but it's like, you know, cloaked in friendliness. It's really funny.
He's definitely finding his way. They're doing a good job of letting him find it and giving him the time needed to find it, because there, I've always felt like there's something there, but I felt like the final testament, pay the toll, which no one pays tolls anymore. It's a little thing in your car. The character just was so corny and it just wasn't working. And with the long hair, when he should have the bald head, like there's all these different things, but I feel like they've given him time and it's paying off. And to the point where he's a believable heavyweight title challenger at some point, not a champion, but a challenger, in my opinion.
And I feel like they're giving him almost a little bit of the Bray Wyatt's, you know, character a bit with, you know, going after some of these people and trying to kind of the changing them into their like older character or other things like that. You know, like how Bray was kind of doing that with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, you know, he's kind of taken on that role a little bit with all these guys now, and you can kind of see them getting a little more back to their old ways. And even Cross is going back to his old, you know, entrance theme and everything like that too. So it's, I feel like they're kind of molding that character a little bit too.
All right. Women's tag team championship match, Liv and Raquel. I got them winning, 'cause the Bayley Lyra thing isn't over yet, you know, and the same thing as War Machine. Let's create a cornerstone to this division. You know, Liv's really popular. Raquel is a super great heater with her. I love, this is why I don't want Judgment Day to go away. I want Raquel and Carlito to become an item. That is awesome. Yeah. They should have a shirt or something, a show. I don't know. But yeah, I'm going with Liv and Raquel here. But I think this is going to be low-key really good fucking match, you know? I don't think Bayley's going to come out here and not have a good match in a tag match. She's had other gimmick matches and tag matches where, you know, I think she's going to produce this one with the help of probably who's producing a lot of the women's matches. Helms?
Wilson.
Okay.
But and well, Helms has been doing a lot of who was it? Oh, Helms does all Logan Paul stuff too.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm looking forward to this one, DP.
Yeah, I think this one will be good. I think this is going to be kind of like you're saying, a little more storyline driven, you know, going into the future. I think there's more to tell with Bayley and Lyra. I think that's what kind of why they're in there. I feel like, you know, Bayley's been kind of in a sense teasing a heel turn. You know, this her losing could potentially keep that going and keep the storyline running a little bit. You know, Liv and Raquel, like you said, I think holding onto the titles, trying to build that tag team division a little more. I kind of like that they had the gauntlet. You know, they need more tag teams. They need to show off more tag teams. I just don't like that Bayley and Lyra are kind of thrown together. You know, they're not, you know, again, promote the teams that are actually tag teams, you know, like I want them to do that instead.
There's no
shit together like that. Doesn't, unless they're going to keep them together.
The problem is doesn't
seem like they're doing that.
There's barely any tertiary storylines on the tag titles, men or women, right? Like, when the tag team division is thriving, you have two or three other storylines going on besides just what's happening in the tag team titles. So let's move on.
It's a few more matches, and you can do what you're kind of doing with the IC title. And
Greg didn't give his thoughts here yet. I forgot.
It's all good. I cannot imagine a world where Liv and Raquel don't win this match. It just doesn't make sense. If I were to try to throw a little monkey wrench in there, with the great work they're doing with Roxanne Perez, what if she kind of showed up and helped them win just to, you know, do some interference and be, especially if her and Cora Jade win at NXT and they get the next shot at the tag titles, which is going to happen at Tuesday on NXT in Vegas. The way they've been using Roxanne Perez on every single brand, I don't think she gets an entrance. I think she comes in from the side, but her showing up, she's had the issues with Bayley. Lyra makes sense. Her trying to get involved with Liv and Raquel makes sense. Like, it plays into everything they've been doing with her too. But no matter how it happens, and I don't think it happens clean, the cleanest that could potentially happen is miscommunication between Lyra and Bayley, which I don't think that story is over either. I think that Liv and Raquel are going to win. I just can't imagine a world where they don't.
All right. Let's call it. This is the center ring here of the circus. This is what we've all been waiting for. I'll go first. Cody Rhodes, John Cena. You lost me when you said you're going to retire with the title. We've done this before. You were involved in it. I don't need to see it again. I don't think that's happening. I think we had it picked all along. He continues to try and win and try and win. He's going to get more title shots. This is all about Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes beat Roman Reigns last year. He's going to beat John Cena this year. And he's going to beat The Rock next year. And Cody is 100% fully made. If not already, but completely certified final boss defeater as of WrestleMania 42. That's my prediction. I can't wait to see all the shit that happens here. Cody Rhodes has already come out and said Travis Scott is going to catch his receipt on Sunday. So you already know that's going to be involved. So this is going to be a fun one. This is going to be a lot of moving pieces, Greg.
I agree 100%. This is going to be just like the last two times Cody Rhodes main evented WrestleMania. Lots of people get involved. Cody loves that shit, even though I don't think he realizes it does himself a detriment. Like, he still hasn't beaten Roman clean, which I think that's the direction you go for SummerSlam for Cody. But yeah, I agree. I can't imagine John Cena winning here. I love the idea that one of you guys presented on this very podcast weeks ago, where Cena wins in his very last match in December, and then the Royal Rumble is for whatever title Cena won and retired as. But I think Cody's going to win here. Looks like it's Dan, so I'll go with DP on that one. I think that's right.
It was Dan. Oh, that's bullshit. This is total bullshit.
I'll take it. I don't know. You're not going to go back and listen, so I'll say it was me.
You don't know? He doesn't know. No, he doesn't know. Do you know for sure or no? If you don't know, then it was me. If he doesn't know it was me, because if it was him, he would know. Fuck you, it was me. God damn it. He tried to steal it again. Son of a bitch. You know, like, I haven't been doing my homework since sophomore year in high school when I would steal all the chemistry answers. So now he knows I won't go check.
Right. Just like PCDPP, just like PPP said a few weeks ago,
I don't like that.
Cena retires at the center of the title. But no, I got to go Cody on this one. I think he pisses off The Rock. I think this is a very short-term heel turn. I think Cena goes back babyface on Monday's Raw when The Rock is mad and yelling at him. I think we're getting Cena and Cody as a tag team at Backlash. And then Cena goes off the rest of his retirement tour as a babyface and then eventually retires with the championship in December. But I think LOL Cody wins is the new LOL Charlotte wins, and we roll on from there.
I think it was Dave on this show, to be honest with you.
Damn. I'd have to go back and look. It's neither of us. I had said that. I think we had said, like, he doesn't win the title until the last opportunity, and then he wins it. I don't think we went as far as somebody else. Maybe it was
Dave. I don't remember who said it.
Royal Rumble comes for the title, Adam.
It was definitely on the DWI podcast.
Here. You heard it here first.
Cena wins a title in December at Ruthless Aggression. Retires as champion and the title is up in the Royal Rumble.
Maybe it was me.
Here's
what it is. I said that he should win and it'll go up in for a tournament at WrestleMania, and then Dave said no, it should be at the Royal Rumble, and then Dan said screw you guys, I'm leaving.
No, we're gonna have WrestleMania 42 be a tournament for the World Heavyweight title. It's coming back to WrestleMania 4.
I think no. It'd be more interesting for John to win the other title.
The one he hasn't had?
Yeah, the one he hasn't had.
Well,
yeah.
Put his name on the lineage of that title, right?
Yeah. It would make a lot of sense, too. And, you know, the year's not over, so it could still happen. But if he takes them both.
What?
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I went wild card on this one because I do think... I really believe Cody Rhodes is going to win this match. And I had said, you know, back when he turned heel, when Cena turned heel initially, I'm like, yeah, they can easily just go, fuck, you know, I wanted to try, I tried it, you know, it didn't work out. Sorry, you know, and yeah, could Rock comes out disappointed or whatever, and he goes back to being a babyface. No big deal, right? I mean, they could easily do that and be done with him being a heel and continue on to his quest to get one more title at some point here. I do like it that the Royal Rumble would be for the title. I think that'd be awesome again. Mm-hmm. But I went wild card. I said Cena wins. However it happens, hook or by crook, Cena wins the title, comes out Raw after Mania and says, I'm done. I'm walking away with the title. But then, and I don't know. I couldn't decide on what's going to happen, but somebody's going to say, no, you're not, comes out and beats him to take the title. And that's how he gets the title off him. And so he doesn't retire. They could continue on and go, yep, he goes back to being a babyface or whatever. But I think him winning the title, shocking at the end and says, I'm done, does it at Raw, but somebody comes out and beats him for it. And he holds the title for one day, gets that 17th title, and that's it.
Well, Jey Uso loses to Gunther, but then is the one to take the title off of John Cena on Raw after Adam Pearce says it is official when Jey Uso comes out.
I thought maybe the other thought I had on who it could be would be The Rock comes out after he says I'm retiring and says no, you can't retire. You're my guy. I need you to hold this title. And then Cena says, no, screw you. And he says, okay. Out comes Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins takes the title. I know it's Raw and SmackDown, whatever. It doesn't matter. Transfer window.
No.
Rock can do what he wants.
None of that matters anymore, actually. They listened. I said, you know what? You don't need to have rosters. Just have whoever you want to show up each night, that's fine. We'll be okay with it. Don't paint yourself into that corner. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. But Seth Rollins comes out, moves back to SmackDown, takes the title, and The Rock. He's The Rock's guy now. Mm-hmm. Something. I'm trying to go wild card. Some kind of shocker.
It's just
do that whole thing, except The Rock's guy is Trick Williams. Now you just made Trick into a star on day one.
Well,
thought about them bringing up Oba Femi and doing something like that too.
Oh my god, yes.
Would be pretty awesome, but I don't know.
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be interesting. Anything do you think that's going to happen outside? Do you want to predict something like not announced, a special appearance, a special segment? Anything come to mind?
Chelsea Green is definitely showing up at WrestleMania 41. I know her match is on SmackDown, whatever, and she doesn't have a match. And Matt Cardona is complaining about it. She's too entertaining not to have some involvement at WrestleMania. She should have been the host. They didn't go that direction. There's no host this year. Chelsea Green as host made so much sense that they didn't do it. And maybe they announced it on Friday.
Maybe.
On SmackDown, who knows. But you can't do, like, she's earned it. However, I hate that sometimes because it's all fake. It's all predetermined. But Chelsea Green is so popular, so over, and so damn good at what she does. They will find something entertaining and memorable for her to do at WrestleMania.
I know you have Travis Scott and Logan Paul involved, but there's no celebrities.
Yeah, they're the celebrities now.
No, but I mean, like, true. There's not even any. Yeah, like you said, there's no host. There's no.
Right.
They're just going to pan the crowd because there's going to be celebrities obviously. There.
Obviously. Yeah, they'll obviously oh, be yeah, they'll a ridiculous amount. That's what they like to do now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anybody else that would show up. You know, they probably got to do some kind of fun segment or something. Like, I'm sure we'll see The Undertaker and you know. I don't know anybody else. Like,
well, you'll see Steven Brett
backstage bit.
You'll see Steven Brett at some point, more probably than like a backstage.
You might see Rusev sitting in the front row, and they just do the Rusev front row thing. And same with Aleister Black. Yeah. That might be instead of just big returns, just the whole look who's here. He's back in WWE.
Who else did they sign? ROH, Lucha Underground. I thought they signed short powerhouse guy.
Oh, Jeff Cobb, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a perfect person to be sitting in the front row at some point. Because he's not known well enough like Rusev and Aleister Black to pop a crowd on a surprise return. But that'd be a great way to get him in front of people. People start Googling Jeff Cobb because he's tailor-made for WWE.
Well, there you have it, folks. I mean, really, that brief conversation on the last topic about, you know, what you might see and celebrities just kind of goes to show, like, how stacked the fucking roster is for WrestleMania this year. Like, you know, the top of the top in every division is just on point. So thanks everybody for tuning in. Greg, thanks for coming on. I mean, 14 matches is a lot to get through, but we did it. I hope you all enjoyed it. Let everybody know where they can follow Greg DeMarco.
At GregDeMarco44 on all your forms of social media. Do yourself a favor. Do me a favor. Go follow at IZW Wrestling AZ. Follow along our great little promotion here in the state of Arizona. What's that returns on May 10th.
Yeah.
As part of the Navajo Warrior Retirement Tour. AEW referee Rick Knox will be refereeing one of our matches on Legends Never Die. So come on out for that. And, of course, at ChairShot Media for thechairshot.com. Follow, listen, read. Bang up job by everybody. This is, of course, where I always love to heap the praise when I get to be on these things. Love joining you guys when I can. Thank you for the invite. You guys are the reason why we started this all. Tony's doing the Lord's work, putting together the WrestleMania predictions article. So check that out. And just a big old thank you overall for letting me be a part of DWI this week. So many thanks to both of you.
Thanks for coming on, man. Yeah, the Founders Edition of the DWI podcast right here.
Right?
If we could only get that Target sponsorship. DP?
Well, don't forget to enjoy the WrestleMania pre-show, also known as SmackDown, after you listen to this, too, probably on Friday morning.
Something will happen on SmackDown that impacts WrestleMania. I really think so.
Yeah, a lot of good matches there, too. You can follow me all over the worldwide social media interwebs, at It's Me, DPP, and follow this show at Podcast DWI. On the X or whatever else you want to call it, and facebook.com/DWI podcast.
All right, folks. Thanks once again for listening. Enjoy WrestleMania. We watch this to enjoy ourselves. Don't forget that. Follow me at PC Tunney, ChairShot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms. The music is louder, so I will yell louder. Goodbye.
Merry Wrestling Christmas.
Rodney and Pete Gass are going to show up. No, I'm just kidding.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at Aura.com/listen. That's AURA.com/listen.